ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Today is August 8th, 2019. And if you have been listening to Outside Inside Deep Inside in the last few episodes, we have been sharing with you the story of precious proximity with Bhagwan. And I started off with the story of Samantaka Mani Bhasha Manti. 3 episodes ago we had conversations with her that you heard in this program, and if you've been following our YouTube channel, we shared with you the story of how the Vibhuti Mantra came into existence. She shared with us how way back in the early days of the Sai Bhajan movement, Bhagwan blessed him with the chance to compose the Vibhuti Mantra, which initially came as a bhajan, and later on it was incorporated in every Sai Samiti as the chant as you receive the prasadam of Vibhuti. She also shared about the songs that Bhagwan used to love in those days before we started singing bhajans, before bhajans became the way to conduct Sai center prayer sessions. It was earlier just Kriti's devotional songs. So from there on we moved to her experiences with Bhagwan, and then I started sharing with you very beautiful moments of being with Swami in the 40s and 50s from the book that Samantaka Mani Bhasha Manti mentioned in the interview, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. This is written by Srimati Sucharita, who belongs to that close group of devotees who were blessed to be with Bhagwan in those yester years. In fact, she belongs to that group of devotees who were fortunate to start the bhajan movement. The first Akhanda Bhajan was held by this group of 6-7 families. All of them were related. Only Mani Bhasha Manti was not related through blood, but she was someone whom Swami wanted to be part of this group. And so I started sharing with you very, very lovely moments of those times. We continue that series because as I read this book, I unearth very, very fantastic moments. Moments of deep learning, moments of deep yearning, and moments which will help you to deepen your devotion. For example, the Prashanti Nilayam inauguration that happened on November 23rd, 1950, when the construction was still going on. Only the Bhajan Hall was ready when the inauguration happened. Even then the flooring was not complete, so people used to sit on mats. And Bhagwan started staying in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. Twice a day bhajans used to be held in the Bhajan Hall, and devotees of course enjoyed walking up and down from the village to the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, because at that point in time Prashanti Nilayam was outskirts. And in those days, there used to be offerings to Bhagwan, Naivedyam, during bhajan sessions, morning and evening. So devotees would prepare items, sometimes one item, sometimes more than one, and take them for offering to Bhagwan. And after Aarti, Swami would touch these offerings, and then they would be distributed as prasadam. So one such day, in early 1951, It happened to be a Thursday, and Sundarama had prepared a chakra pongal, a sweet delicacy, and he took it from the old mandir for Bhagwan's blessings for after the bhajan, for naivedyam. So bhajans were over, aarti was offered, and Swami seemed to take a fancy, and Swami said, "Okay, I will distribute prasadam for all today personally." And so the faces of everyone beamed with joy, and the container had a spoon to serve. So Swami took the container, walked up to the gents' side and distributed the pongal. One by one, the gents received with utmost reverence and they partook it with gratitude. After the distribution was over on the gents' side, Swami came over now to the ladies' side, and the ladies now had their share of joy. They received from Bhagwan's hand a spoonful of prasadam, and as the last lady received her share, Swami actually had to scrape the sides of the container to fill the spoon. And after Swami served that lady, Swami said, "Oh, prasadam is over. I don't have anything left for me. See, there is nothing for me." And when Swami said this, all the ladies were crestfallen. They felt so bad. They didn't even think of offering it to Swami. Swami was serving everyone. No one spared a thought for Swami. They even forgot to chant Brahmarpanam before consuming that prasadam. And everyone was feeling so sad. But there was one lady, Srimati Nagamani Purnaya of Bangalore, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan. She immediately came forward and she stretched her hand, and in that was a small cup full of prasadam. And everyone wondered, from where did she get that? And that is when they realized that when Swami started distributing prasadam, Nagamani Purnaya aunty, she had silently run to her room, fetched a small cup, and she received the prasadam in this cup. No one noticed it actually, and now she was waiting for the chance to offer it to Bhagwan. So here was a devotee who was constantly thinking, what about Bhagwan? Swami serving us, can I keep this so that as we have, I can give it to Bhagwan also, otherwise Bhagwan will never think about himself. The moment she stretched her hand with the cup, Swami said, "Oh, not bad, you got it." And Swami was so happy. Swami was so happy, filled with her kind gesture. Swami does not need to eat the prasadam. As Bhagwan always said, "Ni anandam ema aharam na aharam." Your happiness is my joy. And that was one occasion where you saw how, when you think about Swami, how blissful he becomes, and how thoughtful we should always be, how grateful we should always be, how God should always be first, others next, and ourselves last. If you always remember this, then we will see how we fill the heart of the universe with joy, with everything that we do. Nagamani Purnaya was one such really blessed soul. Swami used to care for her till her last. Swami used to send devotees when she became elderly and unable to come for darshan. Swami used to send devotees to look after her. It is such devotees who remind you of the saints and sages, of Shabaris, of those devotees of earlier era. Whenever the divine came in human form, there were such exalted souls who were continuously teaching us how to live a life of dedication. In fact, another incident which is recorded in Sri Sakti Sai Madhura Smriti is, in the 50s, again, there was no tap water facility in Prashanti Nilayam, so people had to draw water from a well which was located near the compound wall behind the reception center, now where you have the reception center near the Ganesha gate. In those days there was a well there, and there were no proper washrooms. Improvised bathrooms were there in the form of small thatched cubicles over there. So whenever people had to go for a shower, they had to take the water from this well and go to those rudimentary hatched rooms to go and have their bath. The permanent residents only stayed inside the ashram campus. So in this scenario, there was a devotee, Janakampalli Konnamma, who used to stay in Puttaparthi. She stayed in one of those improvised rooms all by herself. But one thing was very special about her. She had a large copper vessel, handad as it is called, in which she used to heat water. So she had two copper pots. She would spend the mornings to draw water from the well and fill this big copper vessel. And she would not ask for anyone's help, even though she was elderly. From sunrise, she would start her routine drawing water from the well and then carrying it to her room, filling that big container with water, and later she would heat this water, and then she very silently, very quietly, once the water was hot, she would filter the hot water with a white cloth. No one would know what she was doing. She would ensure that the water is clean, and then she would filter the hot water with a white cloth and carry this pot to the first floor of the mandir where Bhagwan used to reside. And she would carry so many such pots of water during the day. Never seek anyone's help and do it with such systematic precision, with such silence, with such humility. And everyone would see her, but she would always try to be as inconspicuous as possible. After a long time, perhaps 2 years later, pump sets were installed and pipes were laid, and now tap water became easily available inside the ashram. And by this time, permanent rooms also were set up in the ashram premises. So now, Konnamma, Janakampalli Konnamma, did not have to do this water drawing, water purifying and water carrying ritual to the first floor of the mandir. But she will continue to stay in Prasanthana and continue to lead that kind of a very silent spiritual life. During Bhagwan's 60th birthday celebrations, 1984, Bhagwan was seated on the dais, and as part of the program, a couple of elderly devotees, both men and women, were led to the dais, and it was announced that Swami was going to honor a few chosen devotees. And there were many sevadar ladies who were helping the women devotees to go on to the dais. And among such selected devotees, one saw Janakampalli Konnamma being taken to the dais. And everyone was spellbound. What a sight it was to see Konnamma in the legion of all those special devotees. No one ever knew what she was doing. She never talked about it. She never let anyone know what she was doing. And so many years had passed. She had done this in the 50s, and in 1985, during 60th birthday celebrations, Swami is calling her to the stage and recognizing the seva that she had done. That is what is gratitude for the Lord. Even if you do a little, it will never ever disappear. It will only come back to you multifold, manifold, and it will fill you with so much joy that your hearts cannot contain that joy. Even if your whole body becomes a heart, you will not be able to contain that joy. That is how life becomes. Once you lead a life of filling yourself with service to Him silently, solidly, systematically. There are so many such instances from the earlier times. Again, once during the 60s, Swami had come to the house of P.V. Krishnamurti. He was also part of that group of early devotees. So on that particular day, Swami stayed for lunch. And Sucharita's grandmother, Sitamma, wanted to offer a fruit to Bhagwan after the lunch. And Bhagwan was conversing with her, and as Swami was talking to her, Sitamma peeled the banana, and she was so totally absorbed in seeing and listening to Swami that she didn't realize what she was doing. She peeled the banana to offer to Swami and offered the banana peel to Swami, holding the fruit in her hand. We have only read about such instances in the Puranas. You read about it in the Mahabharata when Krishna went to Vidura's house, when Krishna had gone with the proposal of peace to Hastinapura, and he stayed in Vidura's house, and there Vidura and his wife, when they were talking to Krishna and Krishna was accepting their hospitality, they were so taken in by the awe of having Krishna in the home that instead of offering the fruit, they had offered the skin of the fruit. They didn't realize what she was doing, and this is exactly what had happened in Bengaluru way back in the 60s. In fact, Sitamma had no clue what she was doing, and at that point in time, Sucharita's aunt Lalita, she lost her cool and said, "Aged, what are you doing? Amma, what are you doing?" But Swami was so happy with that devotion of Sitamma. Swami immediately stopped her and said, "Keep quiet, keep quiet. Let her do what she's doing." Because for Swami, that fruit is not important. For Swami, that fruit of that feeling, that fruit of that love coming from the heart, that is what is important for Swami. That is what is tasty for Swami. He said, "Don't stop, stop, stop. Allow her to do what she's doing." This is how it is to live with the Lord. So many such instances you find when you read the lives of early devotees. It's just that there were always such devotees, but in the early years you had more opportunities of physical proximity. You could actually have Swami in your house, you could spend hours with Swami, you could get more chances of being with Swami in the interview room, you could just be in Prashanthi Nilayam, and you could talk to Swami morning, afternoon, evening, night, because Prashanthi Nilayam was small and Swami used to keep walking. When you listen to those stories, you can only relive the times of being with Krishna and Rama. Another very beautiful incident that happened again in the late 50s. Now, Prashanthi Nilayam, as I told you before, after the inauguration, the construction was still going on. There were a few more things to be completed. There were very few devotees at that point in time and who were staying in Prashanthi Nilayam. And so there were not many people to assist in the daily routine of the ashram. Mr. Seshagiri Rao, maternal grandfather of Sucharita Aunty, who's written the book, was the first pujari. And very diligently he would do the puja ceremony in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir after Bhagwan inaugurated it in 1950. And the puja would never stop. Even if Bhagwan was not in Prashanthi Nilayam, and Swami used to travel a lot in those days. So one particular day, Mr. Seshagiri Rao went to the Prashanthi Nilayam from the old Mandir where he was staying for the regular puja and aarti. And generally, he would find one or two devotees who would be there in the Mandir. And he would assign the task of ringing the bell during aarti to one of those devotees. So you would always see if there is one person to help him in his puja. But otherwise, he did not care. He was very happy to just come alone from the Pata Mandir, from the old Mandir, and do the puja every morning and evening in Shantini Mandir. In fact, this reminds me of how devotees in the Vrindavan Ashram now do the Traishwara Lingam Puja every day in Trai Vrindavan. Every day there are so many dedicated people doing it. Now imagine 1950, there was no one, and Seshagiri Rao alone would come and do the puja very diligently. And if there was any person who could help him, he would ask that person to go and ring the bell. But one day it happened that there was no one in the mandir. So when he went, he finished the puja, now he has to do the aarti. And generally the tradition is as the aarti is going on, someone has to ring the bell. And the bell was at the rear end of the bhajan hall. Now Seshagiri Rao was almost 65 years old at that point in time. Now he didn't know what to do, so he started the puja, so he finished, and now when it was time for aarti, and still there was not a soul around to ring the bell when he was supposed to give aarti to Swami. But he didn't want this practice to stop, he somehow wanted to do this. So what he did, he kept the camphor ready for aarti, ran to the bell, swung the bell with more force so that, you know, the bell continues to ring, tung, 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 and he ran back, and now he started the aarti and started singing and doing the aarti. And when he felt that, you know, the aarti, the bell is dying out, then he thought he will keep the aarti plate down and go back again, again ring the bell, and then again come and do the aarti. So this is how he thought he will do it, so that the nothing is compromised in the ceremony. And so he went, he rang the bell, went, and he picked up the aarti plate and he started doing the aarti. And he thought the moment the bell slows down, he will run and ring it and come back and again continue the aarti. And as he came back and he picked up, and suddenly he noticed that the ringing of the bell is not slowing down. He was waiting when it will slow down, because he had hit it once. Now he's waiting, when it slows down he will go again and continue the bell. But it just did not slow down. To his utter amazement, the ringing of the bell just continued, and it continued with full force, so much so that it was audible from a distance. Even at the Pata Mandir, even the old mandir, you could hear the bell. That is how loud that day the bell was. And Puttaparthi, of course, also was very calm. So the whole Puttaparthi was reverberating that day with the bell. And Seshagiri Rao was down in tears. He broke down to see how much Swami is there with him. It was just that desire that I have to do it well. And look at the way Bhagwan is there every step of the way. So that this old man, whose heart is filled with golden devotion for Swami, is not put to any difficulty. Such touching episodes. The devotees were blessed with in the 1950s and 60s. One more wonderful experience of Seshagiri Rao. This happened during 1946-47, when this family from Bangalore started coming. So it was after Shivratri, and Mr. Seshagiri Rao, who had started doing the puja for Bhagwan twice a day, he was reliving the beautiful moments of spending time with him during the Mahashivratri. And that night he went to bed very late. He was so ecstatic, feeling how blissful it was to be in Prashantalayam and witness Shivratri, because he was always a Shiva devotee. All his life he had worshipped Shiva, and once he came to Prashantalayam, he actually saw the form of Shiva, and that is how he decided to stay back and serve Swami. And celebrating Shivratri was such a exhilarating experience for him. He was just thinking about those moments, and he slept very late. And early in the morning, he jumped out of his bed and he started shouting, "Swami, Swami, Swami!" And he ran to Swami's room and he started banging the door of Swami's door. Swami immediately alerted the devotees, and Swami said, "Keep Seshagiri Rao locked in the room. Just keep him in the room. Don't allow him to come out." Swami said, if he comes near me, he will just expire. He will just probably lose it completely. And everyone was wondering what happened. In fact, they had to keep him in a room and very carefully serve him from the window of the locked room. He was in such ecstasy. After three days of such care of Seshagiri Rao, Seshagiri Rao calmed down, and then he said that he had the bliss of seeing the third eye of Swami. And no wonder, he just came out of his body. He wanted to just merge in Swami after that darshan. That was the experience of Seshagiri Rao, the first priest of Prashantananda. That is how Bhagavan, the beautiful Lord, created souls who were filled with Prashanti in the hamlet of Puttaparthi way back in the 40s and 50s.
Thank you.
Let me now tell you some stories of a member of this exalted family who had the chance to become a student in Bhagwan's institution. So we are now coming to the 2005-2007, and these are the stories of Nikhil Kaushik, who is the grandson of Sundaramma. Seshagiri Rao, as I mentioned before, had two daughters, Sundaramma and Sharadamma, and Sundaramma's grandson is Kaushik. Now, when Kaushik joined Bhagwan's college in 2005, during the awareness course, which is part of the college curriculum, wherein very senior teachers explain the concepts of spirituality and Swami's teachings, one of the teachers one day said, "Don't lose this opportunity to experiment with Swami. Borrowed faith lasts only for a few days. Rely on your own experience and use every opportunity to test Swami at your own level." So this was something that a teacher said during one of the awareness classes in the university. And so this led Nikhil to think, why don't I do my own experiments with truth? He knew that every single thought that comes is completely Bhagwan's will. Swami knows about every little thing that comes to our mind. But he wanted to experience this on his own. So one day he started this trial with Swami. So now Sundaramma, Swami's grandmother, Nikhil Kaushik's grandmother, was a very blessed soul. As I mentioned, she was a gifted musician. She had composed so many soulful songs on Bhagwan. In fact, Swami used to call Sundaramma and Sharadamma as Patalammailu, and the sisters who sing. And everyone in the family also was into music. Nikhil Kaushik's mother, Srimati Dwarka, who's the youngest daughter of Sundaramma, also was a gifted singer, and she used to sing with such unsullied devotion every morning. And in fact, Swami once told her, "I know that wherever you are, you sing my songs with so much devotion. That is more than enough. I don't need any other separate seva from you," Swami said. "Just sing with devotion. I don't need any other seva from you." That is how pure her singing was. And that is how much Swami longed to hear from her. So having been born to such an illustrious family, Nikhil also was a singer, and he felt that once he comes to Prashanthi Nilayam, he will have those opportunities to sing in front of Bhagwan like the students have. And so this is what he had always dreamt. He had thought that once he joins, he would be immediately blessed with these opportunities, and given that he was anyway a good singer, all he had to do was just testify his capabilities with one of the teachers in the college who was in charge of the Mandir Bhajan singing. And once he's convinced, then all he has to do is just ask Swami for permission to sing, and then he can start his singing sojourn in Prashanthi Nilayam as a student. So he went to the music teacher. The auditions for the first round started sometime in late June that year, 2005. And it was a time when Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. Swami was expected to return to Parthi from Vrindavan at any time. So he went for audition with one of his most favorite bhajans. And everyone told him that you sing this bhajan so good, sing this when you are called for audition. So he went through his turn and he sang that bhajan. And the teacher in charge said, "See, Nikhil, your singing is very Carnatic. Even Hindustani bhajans you are singing in a very Carnatic style. And also your pronunciation of Hindi is very South Indian. The way you end each sentence is also very loud. It's very abrupt. Probably you should do a bit of practice. Just refine your singing. Practice for a few more weeks and then we will take a call again." And Nikhil felt, "Practice for a few more weeks? For me? I am so established as a singer and I was just planning to just go through this drill as a routine and start singing in mandir, and here is someone who is telling I have to practice, I don't know how to end bhajans. He says I'm singing loud, he says I don't know pronunciations." He was very, very disturbed. He never ever thought that this is something that would happen to him. Never anyone had pointed out any shortcoming in his bhajan singing. This was a failure that really shocked him and he was really very sad. And in fact, out of all the students who sang that day, only two boys were not given permission, and it was, and one of the two was him. And they were not given the permission to go and ask Swami. All the others were told, "Okay, now you can go and ask Swami, and if he permits, you can start singing." And to make matters worse, Nikhil could not stop convincing himself that he was really better than all the boys who were chosen that day and who were cleared to go and ask Swami. He felt, "I am definitely much better than them, and how could this happen to me?" He thought, "Okay, doesn't matter. I will just appear again for this audition in the next few days. Anyway, Swami has not come. Before Swami comes, I will just go through this routine once again. Maybe they just missed seeing my capability. And before Bhagwan returns to Prashantinam, I will just get all this sorted." So he chose a different bhajan this time and he reappeared again for the same selection process 4 days later. And now, after the teacher heard him, he said, "I asked you to practice, Nikhil, and correct your mistakes. But you have kept the same errors are there even now. Why haven't you addressed even one of the things that I have told you? Go back, practice again, practice for a few weeks and come back only after you have done that. Why didn't you ask some senior singers of the hostel to guide you? Learn, practice and only then come back. Don't come back without preparation." And Nikhil was crestfallen. How could this happen? He couldn't believe that this was actually happening to him. Everyone says he sings so well, and here is someone who's saying that you have to practice, and he comes from a family which started the Akhanda Bhajan tradition in the Sai fraternity. But now he didn't know what to do, so he had to go to some senior singers. So he approached the mandir singers and, you know, asked them if they can just help him where he was going wrong. Was he really going wrong or somebody was playing with him? So he took some guidance from some senior singers and he went back again for audition the next week with a new set of bhajans. But this time with simpler bhajans, just 4-line bhajans and not many complications in the singing. These are bhajans that anyone can sing, those kind of very, very easy bhajans. And when the music teacher heard him this time, he said, "Nikhil, you open your mouth too wide while you end the sentences of every bhajan line. And that is why your voice is becoming too loud. Why don't you practice opening your mouth less towards the end of every sentence? I think you are better, but you need a lot more practice. You know, you have to get these nuances right before you can ask Swami to sing in mandir." And this was the last straw. Nikhil felt these people out here, they just want to somehow disqualify me. They are nitpicking. They just want to ensure that I never get close to somebody. I don't get this chance. How could they find fault with everything that I do? He was so crestfallen, so down that he didn't know what to do with him. He started blaming Swami. He felt, Swami, this is so wrong. How could this happen to me? I thought I'll just clear this whole thing in 3 attempts and they always find some fault with me. I know there is no fault. Meanwhile, Swami arrived to Prashantanilayam and all those friends who had auditioned with him, they already asked Swami's permission. They started singing in the mandir, and every time this was happening, he was unable to stomach this. He used to feel, I should be singing there, I should be sitting there. And how could Swami do this to me? Every day he used to question, how could he be denied the chance of singing in front of him, particularly him coming from an entire family that enjoyed this privilege of singing, and a family that composed hundreds of bhajans, the family that set the tradition of bhajans. Every day he would just sleep crying to Bhagwan. One day Bhagwan came in his dream, and the dream lasted for just a few seconds. And Swami said only 2 sentences. Those sentences were direct, they were profound, and they were eye-opening. Swami said, do you know how much sadhana Sundaramma and her team did to earn that grace from me? Tell me, what have you done? Swami is asking him, do you have any idea how much sadhana your grandmother Sundaramma and all the people of that time did? Do you have any idea how much they toiled for this, and what have you done? That dream filled Nikhil with so much of inspiration that from the next morning itself he started practicing. He realized that grace is not hereditary. You can be born in that family, but that does not mean automatically you will get grace. You have to work to earn the grace of the divine. It comes only with sadhana and sadhana alone. So now he started to practice. He decided to get up early in the morning, do voice culture, learn from the elders, learn from the seniors, be as humble as possible and give as much time as possible to practice how to keep Shruti in the harmonium, how to do Omkar in the morning. He would get up much before Suprabhatam and do voice conditioning for 30 minutes. And he did that day after day for 7 days. Very focused and as a sadhana. And after this one whole week of practice, he picked up the same bhajan that he had sung earlier, that simple bhajan, and he went to the music teacher again and requested, can you please check me again now, sir? And the music teacher now said, oh my God, Nikhil, you have such great improvement in your singing now. It is so refined, your voice is tapering off so perfectly. How many hours did you really practice? This is great. You're an example to others about how to correct the flaws and rise. The teacher said, I will ask all the other students who are seeking permission for singing to get in touch with you. Tell them what you did, how you did. This is how we should rise. This is how we should correct our imperfections. And Nikhil knew how this had happened. Grace comes only after you have yearned and pined for it. those words of the music teacher were like honey on his ears. And the next day he sat in the first line with a letter during darshan, and Bhagwan called him, received the letter, and he asked, Swami, can I sing in the mandir? And Swami, with a very beautiful smile, gave him the permission to start singing in the mandir. Grace is a result of the function of sadhana, nothing else. Nikhil learned this lesson emphatically. The second lesson he learned is, you take one step towards me, Swami says, and see how I will take 100 towards you. And so his practice continued every day, 30 minutes of Omkar. And the most important lesson that came to him here was, don't ever give up. Pray intensely and you will get your answer. The way Swami came and guided him in his dream was eye-opening for him. Another incident happened, again connected to bhajans, during the Akhand Bhajan of 2006, and that again taught him very, very powerful lessons. Now this experience was in some way a follow-up of what I narrated just now. So by this time, he had great self-esteem and confidence because he was now a seasoned singer. He was singing in Swami's physical presence and he used to always feel so happy and proud that, you know, he comes from that family which started Akhand Bhajan. It is this family who made the tradition of non-stop 24-hour bhajans a global phenomenon. And when the time for Akhand Bhajan came in 2006, November, Nikhil felt that he should now make the most of this chance, and how fantastic it is that the fourth or fifth generation of that family is now participating in Akhand Bhajan as a student. His grandmother used to sing in the 40s, and Akhand Bhajan starts on a Saturday and continues up to Sunday evening, Saturday evening to Sunday evening. On Friday, Nikhil had one chance to sing in the mandir during evening bhajans. Swami was in the bhajan hall enjoying the bhajans that day. And when his turn to sing came, he adjusted the mic and he was about to start. And the Shruti was played in the harmonium for him to start the bhajan. For some reason, he started wrong. He didn't start in the right note. The bhajan was totally on the wrong shruti, and there was sudden unease in the bhajan hall, and Nikhil went numb. Quickly, he got little help and he managed to come back to the correct shruti. And bhajan somehow ended. But great damage had been done. What will the music teacher feel? He thought that Nikhil had learnt his mistakes. But Nikhil, how can Nikhil commit a mistake in front of Swami in a public bhajan session? Swami just kept his head low all through the bhajan, did not say anything, never even looked at Nikhil. And the moment the bhajan ended, Swami asked for aarti and he left the bhajan hall. And Nikhil felt that Swami was just waiting for that bhajan to end to just leave the session. And everyone dispersed. Nikhil had no face to show his music teacher. He didn't know how to tell him anything. Didn't know how to show his face to anyone in the hostel. He didn't know how it went wrong. Always he started bhajans correctly, but that day, why he did not get it, he had no idea. And if you commit a mistake of that nature in the mic during a public bhajan session, Swami is sitting, obviously you're not going to get chance to sing for at least a week or more. In fact, we week is less. And next day was Akhand Bhajan. And all his dreams of actually being part of the Akhand Bhajan just melted away. And he said, how could he have committed such a disaster? All these days, he was in heaven every time he got the chance to sing. And today he was back. Not even at ground, even he was inside, he was Netherlands, he was in Nadar of his sorrow. But somehow he felt, if I miss this chance of singing during Akhand Bhajan, I won't get it again. I'm here only for 2 years as a student. I don't know if I will get this chance again. So on the morning of Saturday, he met the music teacher and he said, you know, sir, can I sing in the Akhand Bhajan? I so much wanted to sing. And politely that sir said, see Nikhil, there are so many singers and all the campuses are there. And there'll be only 1 hour when the mics will be on and all of them have to get chance. So we have to see. And you just have sung yesterday and based on what had happened yesterday, we have to also keep that in mind. And all that he said. And Nikhil knew that it's all over. There's no way he's going to get a chance to sing. I mean, the music teacher is never going to give him a chance to sing because it is just 1 day before he had committed such a blunder. And whole night he was fighting with Swami. Swami, how could this happen to me? He slept crying and Swami, I wanted to always sing during the Akhand Bhajan night. I can't imagine that I'm a student, a singer and still not getting chance to sing during the Akhand Bhajan. So, on the Saturday, 4 p.m, everyone was in the Bhajan Hall and he hardly managed to enter the Bhajan Hall. It was packed to capacity. Swami arrived at around 5:30 p.m. and he lit the lamp and the Akhand Bhajan started. But the fight within him grew stronger and stronger. He got up early on Sunday morning and he reached the Bhajan Hall at 8 a.m. Again, the hall was full. And somehow he tried to grab a place right at the end. But after Swami sat for 45 minutes, Bhagwan left the hall and some singers got up and they went out. They exited the hall to take a small break. And Nikhil somehow thought, why don't I take this opportunity? And he rushed forward and he occupied a place right behind the music teacher. And the music teacher, of course, did not notice him, but he just went and sat there. And so he was actually now somewhere 12th to 13th row from where Swami sits in the Bhajan Hall. And as time progressed, the lights and mics inside were turned on. All the main singers again started coming back and singing with full energy. It was little over 9 a.m. that again there were signs of restlessness because Swami, who had gone out, had just returned, and Swami finished the normal darshan rounds and Swami entered the Bhajan Hall and Swami now sat on the throne. And now Nikhil was sitting behind the music teacher in the Bhajan Hall and he noticed that Swami started saying something to one of the senior teachers there in Bhajan Hall. And this senior teacher heard Bhagwan's instructions and he came and told the music teacher. And he said that Swami is saying, why only the main singers are singing? Why don't we give rest to the main singers and let some of the non-main singers also sing? Let them also get chance. This was the message that came to the music teacher. And the music teacher was overwhelmed. This was a bolt from the blue. And he started seeing if there's any regular singer, and he could not find anyone. And when he turned back, there was Nikhil, the only non-main singer sitting. So immediately he gave the mic to Nikhil to start singing, and Nikhil grabbed that opportunity. He started singing and the music teacher put the shruti and he sang with all his heart out. And Swami sat there, heard the entire bhajan, and the moment he finished the bhajan, Swami signaled the students and asked his chair to be moved and he left the Bhajan Hall. Nikhil knew that you may be sitting in the 12th row, 13th row, only the seasoned singers might have got the chance to sing as was decided by the music teacher, but if the divine director wants you to sing, he can create opportunities out of nowhere and see how Swami fills his heart with that joy, because he cried for him, he pined for him, and he pleaded with him for that moment of proximity, for that moment of grace. You have to just offer yourself at his feet and see how he will convert your life into a celebration of joy, how he will convert your life into a melody which will be just a song of his glory. Nikhil Kaushik experienced all this in 2005-2006. His grandmother experienced this in 50s and 60s, and his great-grandfather experienced this in 40s and 50s. The stream of grace continues. If only we awaken that love, that devotion in our heart, then this stream will fill us with perennial cascade of joy and bliss. All we have to do is to just increase our intensity. Every moment of our life, we will feel his proximity. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with me through this lovely satsang. We'll continue this in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. As always, please feel free to send us your feedback. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Prema bhakti jagao man mein. Prema bhakti jagao man mein. तुम हो भक्त जनों के साई, आओ मेरे हृदय Bye. जगा मन